If you'll please take your Bibles and turn with me now, book of Ephesians chapter 4, and I will be starting verses 11 through 13. Today's the last day in our message series called Christ, Our Purpose. We've taken the last 6 weeks to look at our church purpose statement together. We're learning about God's purposes for our church as revealed in Scripture. And hopefully you've learned a lot about our church from this series, but as well as what the Bible says that we should be doing as a church. So one last time, or at least for this series, you can look at the church purpose statement anytime you want. Just go online and look at it. But the purpose of Plantation Community Church is to make disciples. To make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? Six things. Calling people to Christ. Helping them grow in Christ. Receiving them into fellowship and service, involving them in personal and group worship, sharing God's love in Broward County and beyond, and today we come to our sixth and last one, teaching and equipping people for ministry. It spells out Christ because Christ is our purpose. It's all about Jesus. So if you take your Bibles, let's stand together as we read Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. Hear the word of the Lord. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. The word of the Lord. Dear God, speak to us now through your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. So this is the number six out of our six ways that we make disciples here at Plantation Community is by teaching and equipping people for ministry. And once again, when you look at the purpose statement, you'll notice there is a progression in these six steps. Yes, it spells out Christ, but there's a progression in the actions as well. What comes first? Calling people to Christ. Why? Because first you got to come to Christ. That's where it begins. First you come to Christ, then you grow in Christ as you worship God, as you become part of a church family. But the final key element here is that of ministry. God brings you into the body of Christ so that you may serve the body of Christ. Now, you might be wondering, well, what in the world can I do to serve a church? I mean, you know, what can I do? Well, here's the thing. God does not ask you to serve without first equipping you to serve. And so just the very fact that God has called you to serve the church means that he has equipped you to do that. So this morning, we're going to look at three ways that God teaches and equips you for ministry in the church. You are equipped by God's servants. You are equipped by God's word. And number three, you are equipped by God's spirit. Once again, if you look inside your worship guide, I know there's a bunch of them in there, but there's another insert with an outline of today's message. It'll help you follow along in those 3 points as we go through the message together. First of all, you are equipped by God's servants. Let's go back to that passage now in Ephesians chapter 4. The very first thing this passage teaches us is that the pastors equip the people for ministry. The pastors equip the people. Look at verse 11 again. It was he, Jesus, who gave some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service. Some people, probably a lot of people, maybe most people, think that ministry, that's something the pastors do, right? That's something the pastors are supposed to do. That's what ministry is, right? The pastors do the work of the ministry, and the rest of us, we come to church, we get ministered to. That's not the way it works. It's not what the Bible says, not what God says. According to Ephesians, Christ didn't give pastors to the church to do the work of the ministry. Christ gave pastors to the church to equip the people to do the work of the ministry, to equip God's people. Jesus gave some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for the works of service. So part of my job as a pastor is simply to equip you for ministry. That's what the pastors and the teachers do. And that means each one of us in the body of Christ should be serving in some way. We have a saying at our church. We like this saying. It goes like this. We've got three pastors, but many ministers. three pastors, but many ministers. We got Pastor Ray, we got Pastor Layton, we've got Pastor Sean, three pastors, but the rest of us, we're all ministers, all ministers. You are a minister. Maybe you never thought of that before. You're a minister. You've been called to serve. No one is exempt. We are all to serve in the body of Christ. Jesus gave pastors to the church not to do the ministry, but to equip the people for ministry. And then the second thing this passage in Ephesians teaches us is that there is no maturity without ministry. There is no maturity without ministry. Why did Christ give pastors and teachers to equip the people for ministry? Look at verses 12 and 13. So that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. God calls each of us to serve in the body of Christ so that the body of Christ may be built up and we may become mature. In other words, there is no maturity without ministry. You cannot become mature in Christ without the ministry of others. And you will not become mature in Christ without serving others yourself. In other words, we need each other. We need each other in the body of Christ. We are saved to serve. And it is only as we serve each other in the body of Christ that we will all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of Christ and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. There is no maturity without ministry. So that's the first way God equips you. You are equipped by God's servants. Your pastors and your teachers equip you for ministry. Of course, that raises the question, how do they do that? How do your pastors and teachers equip you? And that leads us to our second point. You are not only equipped by God's servants, you are also equipped by God's word. By God's word. And here we go to 2 Timothy in the Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes, all scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Three very important things we learn just from these two verses, three things about the Word of God. Number one, all scripture comes from God. That's where scripture comes from. Verse 16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. And that means even though the Bible was written by men, written by human beings, it is inspired by God. The Bible was written by various human authors over centuries of time, and yet God superintended the writing of the scriptures in such a way that the words of scripture are truly the word of God. All scripture is God-breathed. It's the word that comes out of his mouth. All scripture comes from God. Secondly, Paul teaches us all scripture is useful. Useful, all of it, from beginning to end and everything in between. All scripture is useful. And it is particularly useful for four things: for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, we're probably most familiar with the teaching function of Scripture. This has to do with the content of Scripture, what the Scripture tells us. But these other functions are important too. Rebuking, that has to do with refuting error and convicting of sin. The Bible does that. Correcting, the word translated correcting here means to set something upright that has fallen down. The Bible has many passages that correct us. Training in righteousness, that word training is a word that was used of training and disciplining young children. And just as we need to raise up children, we need to be raised up ourselves in our faith. Now, I like to think of these four words in this way. Think about your life in terms of a path. Okay, there's a path that God has called you to walk, right? The teaching passages of Scripture define the path for you. In other words, they tell you the right way to live. God says, here's the path. This is how you live. You want to live your best life for God? Whoa, don't know where that came from. But God wanted you to hear it, that's for sure. Are we good? We're good. You want to live your best life for God? Oh, I didn't do it again. You know, God gives you the path. Those are the teaching passages of Scripture. So the teaching passages of Scripture define the path for you. They tell you the right way to live. The rebuking passages, those let you know when you've left the path. Right? When you're no longer walking the way you're supposed to live, then the Bible comes and rebukes you and says, hey, you're not on the path anymore. You're over here. Well, if you're over there, what do you need? You need a correcting passage. The correcting passages tell you how to get back on the path. And then training in righteousness, that helps you keep on the path once you get there, right? Once you get there, it's like, I don't want to stray again. I want to stay on the path. That's training in righteousness. All Scripture is useful in at least one of these four functions, which is why it is essential that we take the time to read and study God's word, all of it. This needs to be a daily part of your life. And when you do that, when you read and study God's word, and when you listen to your pastors and your teachers, something amazing happens. You will find yourself equipped for every good work. That's what verse 17 says, right? So that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, in Paul's days, this word that was translated equipped, that was a word that was used to describe a rescue boat, a completely outfitted rescue boat. Today, you could compare it to paramedics in an ambulance, right? The paramedics in an ambulance are completely outfitted. They are thoroughly equipped. They don't know what call is going to come, right? And so they are ready for any situation or emergency. And in the same way, when you know the Scriptures, you are thoroughly equipped and ready for any task God may send your way. So how does God equip you for ministry? How does the church equip you for ministry? You're equipped by God's servants. You're equipped by God's word. And then thirdly and finally, you are equipped by God's Spirit. Let me show you now how the three of those work together. As we've seen, the pastors and teachers in the church equip you for ministry. How do they do that? Primarily by preaching and teaching the word of God, and then you study the word of God on your own. And then we need to think of the various parts of God's word. We looked at those four functions, right? As tools. These are the tools that you need to be equipped for ministry. The pastor's job is to teach you how to use those tools. You go, it's all there, right? No, there's one piece still missing. There's still a piece missing. You know why? Because these are not just regular hand tools. These are power tools. Okay, these are power tools. And if you're going to use power tools, what do you need? Power, right? You can have the best power tool in the world, but if you don't plug it in, it's not going to do anything. It's useless. And that's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Yes, you are equipped for ministry by your pastors. Yes, you are equipped for ministry by God's word, but you must also be equipped by God's Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who gives you the power for ministry. So we're going to look at one more passage now, 1 Corinthians 12, which talks about spiritual gifts. Paul writes, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. A spiritual gift is simply a gift given by the Holy Spirit, which empowers you to serve in the body of Christ. I'll say that again. A spiritual gift is simply a gift given to you by the Holy Spirit, which empowers you to serve in the body of Christ. And this passage we've just read from 1 Corinthians tells us three important things about spiritual gifts. Let's take a look at them. First of all, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Different kinds of gifts, same Spirit. In other words, it's only one Holy Spirit, and that same Spirit gifts us for service in different ways. We don't all serve the same way in the body of Christ. We're not supposed to. We have different gifts. Some people have gifts of music. Others have gifts of administration. Some have gifts of teaching. Some have gifts of encouragement. Some have gifts of helping others. There are so many others. God is a generous giver of gift, and he gives a variety of gifts through the Holy Spirit so that the body of Christ may be built up. Secondly, the Spirit gives gifts to all believers, right? That's what verse 6 says. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men, meaning all men and women who trust Christ. That means if you are a believer in Christ this morning, God has given you gifts for ministry. From the very moment you trusted Jesus as your Savior, God gave you at least one spiritual gift. And in my experience, he's usually given you more than one. God has gifted you by the Holy Spirit to serve the body of Christ in a special way. He has given you the power you need for your power tools. And every Christian has at least one spiritual gift for service. And therefore, number three, you need to use your gifts to serve others in ministry. And that's what verse 7 said. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. God doesn't give you your spiritual gifts for yourself. The purpose of spiritual gifts is to serve others. And therefore, it is important that you discover your spiritual gifts so that you can use them to serve others in the body of Christ. So how do you do that? How do you discover your spiritual gifts? Well, we have some diagnostic tools available in the church office, some questionnaires that you can fill out. That can be helpful. And if you want something like that, drop by the church or ask us to email that to you. We'd be glad to do that. But I would say the first thing to do before you do anything else is just ask God. Just ask God to show you your gifts. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. And then next, read through the lists of spiritual gifts. Where are they? Book of Romans, 1 Corinthians. They follow each other in the Bible, so they're right next to each other. Guess what? Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. God made it so easy for you to find it. You go to Romans chapter 12. You read the list there. You flip forward a book. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Read there. And learn the different ways that God equips people for ministry in the church. So ask God, read about them, and then prayerfully consider, how has God used you in the past? Talk with other people, people who know you, people you trust. Say, how do you see me best serving in the body of Christ? And then finally, and this is probably most important of all, just start serving. Start serving. It's only as you serve in the church that you will truly discover the ways that God has gifted you to minister to others. So to wrap up, not just today, but all 6 weeks, what is the purpose of Plantation Community Church? Christ. Christ is our purpose. Our purpose is to make disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do we do that? We've seen the six ways, and the one we've looked at today, teaching and equipping people for ministry. You today, you are equipped. You are equipped for what God is calling you to do. You are equipped by God's servants. You are equipped by God's word. And you are equipped by God's Spirit. In other words, you're ready to go. You're ready to go. You're ready to jump in and start serving. There are so many ways to serve in the body of Christ. How is God calling you to serve? Let's pray. Well, dear God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the way it teaches us and challenges us and encourages us and helps us. And Lord, we all want to serve. We all want to serve you and each other. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for gifting us. Thank you for giving us those gifts of service. Thank you for the word of God that fully equips us. We're fully equipped in every way. Thank you for pastors and teachers who come alongside us and teach us as we explore and study the word of God for ourselves and dig deeper into all that you have for us. God, you have not left us alone. And we can't do what a church is called to do. We can't be what a church is called to be unless we are all serving together. Each part is essential. And so, Lord, I thank you for each person here. They are so important to you, so important to this church, so important to your mission. Lord, help us to fulfill the purposes you have for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.